Good. I'm doing good. So I'm glad. I'm sure you're glad to hear that, right? Yeah, it's neat. Yeah, second Saturday night service. So it's really good to see you all here, and we're doing a study on God's ways. If you missed last week, you can get it online. We're actually live streaming the Saturday night service also. So if you miss one. I wonder if we could have our veterans. Oh, I wonder if you guys would mind, and ladies would mind standing. I think we should give you a hand, of gratitude. Thank you so much for serving. Yeah, it's awesome. Bill just turned 90 years old. And vet. Anybody here older than Bill tonight? You get the prize, Bill. Didn't come the farthest, but you've been living the longest. So, well, today we're going to do part two, and in the first part of this message, a lot of it's what we saw last week. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over it, but because it's series, there does need to be some foundation built as we go through here. As I talked about, when I said that we were going to do Saturday night services and what we were going to do, I said that I was going to use this time that God's given me to bring the messages that I believe are the most important, probably going to find their way into a book one day, but these are the foundational messages that I believe are the most important for Christians. And so that's what I'm trying to do. These are the messages God's given to me. And so when I'm saying, when we say, I love your ways, I believe that the most important thing any person can ever do is know, love, and follow God's ways. And in fact, the best use of your life that you can ever do is to know and follow God's ways. It's the key to everything. And this is what Moses knew right up from the start. As soon as God appeared to Moses, and Moses said this to him. Let's read it together and aloud. Exodus 33. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. If you want to know God, you have to know his what? His ways. Right? You say, hey, well, I know God. Everybody knows God. Everybody believes in God. You make God in your own image, and I know what I believe about God. No, God is very specific. He has a certain way of doing things, and if you want to know who the real God is, you have to know what his ways are. A way, as we said, is an often used path. In fact, it's used so often that it becomes an indentation in dirt. Or sometimes people will build a wooden path like you see there. Or sometimes they even pave it, right? Because it's used so much. Because it goes somewhere that somebody wants to go. And tonight we're going to be really focusing on this particular way. That is how you respond when you need to make a decision. Okay? Because I believe that the most important way, in fact, when we talk about God's ways, what we're really talking about is how God decides things. And if we know his ways, then we can make decisions the way that he makes them. And everybody in this room, we're going to get to it in a minute, everybody in this room has got a particular way that you go about making decisions. Okay, you were hardwired that way. Doesn't mean that you can't change it, but I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want you to be thinking about your particular personality and the way that you go about making decisions. Let's read together Psalm 10. This phrase, his ways, our ways, it's dozens, hundreds of times throughout the Bible because it's so important. When something is said over and over again, that's when we know it's important. Something that's only said one time, it's probably not that important. Don't worry about it. But when it's said dozens of times, hundreds of times, it's foundational, it's basic. Let's read together these scriptures. His ways are always prosperous. How can you read that and say, his ways are always prosperous? When I read that, I get excited. His ways are what? Always prosperous. His ways always go a good direction. They always take you to a good destination. They always get you where you want to go. How many here, who does not want to prosper in your life? How many of you want your relationships to go downhill? How many of you want to get poor and bankrupt? How many of you want your health to go down the toilet? You know, right? That, I mean, obviously, we want our life to prosper. And so we want to prosper. We have to do things God's ways, because God's ways always prosper. Men's ways do not always prosper. In fact, the Bible says that man's way, even though it seems right, is what? The way of death. Leads to death. Let's read on. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. I have those underlined because when you read the word path, it's the same word in the Hebrew as way. So they're interchangeable. A lot of the scriptures that you've memorized, it's path, like Proverbs 3:5, right? Path is actually the word way. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's read on. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. So the Bible is the only book that explains what God's ways are. I talked about that last week. Enough said. The best thing you can do to have an abundant life is to learn, love, and follow God's ways. Let's read together Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Let's read what Jesus said about it, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does the Lord require of you? But to walk in his ways. Why? Because his ways are always prosperous. Jesus said, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Abundant life comes from following his ways. That's why God requires it. So to do that, you have to first accept the fact that you don't naturally do things God's way. And in fact, man's way is almost always counterintuitive to God's ways. To man's way. I'm sorry. Let's read together Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. All right. A lot of this is all, we're rehashing what we talked about last week, so I'm not going to go into all those examples that I use. But remember that I said that generally speaking, people, they look at things at a very superficial level, and that's where they make their judgments. Whereas God sees everything that has to do with that particular subject and that particular decision, not only every factor that goes into it, but the past and the future consequences of it. And that's why his judgments and his decisions are always good and perfect, because he knows all the information. And so God's ways are, it can seem complex. And we read things in the Bible and we're like, I don't know. This doesn't seem. I mean, how in the world can you give away 10% of your income and have more than if you didn't? That doesn't make any sense. That's counterintuitive, isn't it? Are you with me? Or did I lose you already? Yeah, it's counterintuitive. Almost every one of God's promises are, because we look at things on a very superficial level, single dimensional. But God knows everything about it, and as a result, if we just put our faith and trust in what he says and do it, next thing you know, we prosper and get the result of what he says we can get from it. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I talked last week about folks who believe that God's not just. You know, they had somebody die that they loved, somebody got sick, and they blame it on God, right? And they say it's all God's fault. It's because they don't know God, and they don't know God because they don't know his ways. If you knew his ways, you would know he does not do those kind of things. Because you don't know his ways, you don't know him, and so you blame him for things. But if you read the Bible and you believe the Bible, it says, no, all God's ways are just. He's faithful. He does no wrong. Let's read on. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? If my people would only listen to me, God says, if Israel would only follow my ways. Why don't they follow his ways? I just told you a minute ago. Our ways are not his ways, but why aren't our ways his ways? Because we look at things one-dimensional, superficially. We don't see the depth of what he sees. We don't know what he knows. And it takes faith to believe he knows more than me, so therefore, if I do what he says to do, it'll work out good for me. All right? If only my people would follow my ways. If only they believed I knew more than them. Right? That's what he's saying, isn't it? That's what he's saying. So how are God's ways different than man's ways? I'm really glad you asked that. Okay, we already said Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Again, let's read Proverbs 1:22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Okay, and that goes back to, again, to the single-dimensional nature that people have when it comes to making decisions and looking at things superficially. We talked last week about living together, right? And how in our culture, that's like, well, of course you're going to move in and try marriage before you marry somebody. That doesn't only make sense, right? But God knows a whole lot more about it, and he says, no, that doesn't work. Now, here's where we're going to be spending our time on today. We're going to dig into this a little bit. I just mentioned it last week, but we're going to dig into it today. You know that, and I'm going to end up today talking about reading the proverb of the day. That's where I'm going with this. If you want to know God's ways, you got to read the Proverbs. Jesus, Paul, David, Moses, well, not Moses, he was after the Proverbs, but everybody that you read in the New Testament and most of the Old Testament, when you read them, they almost always are referring in some shape or form to a proverb. A truth that's embodied in that. It might not be word for word, but the concept is in the Proverbs. Because the Proverbs is what God gave us to know his ways. How he goes about stuff. What his paths are. Now, Proverbs 1:31-33. We just read verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 1. Oh, simple ones, how long are you going to remain simple? How long are you going to insist on everything being superficial and one-dimensional? Let's read on. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and he will be at ease from the dread of evil. All right. These two words here, waywardness and complacency, the writer of the Proverbs here is saying these are two opposites. Now, before I even begin to define them, I want you just to think about yourself and say, if wayward is 10 and complacent is 1, where am I? And you can't use 5, right? No fives. Do you tend to take risks, or do you tend to avoid risk at all costs? Right? That's a 1 in a 10. Everybody's personality in some way leads toward one of those two things. That is man's way. Man's way are naturally one of these two ways. I don't even know how many years ago it was that when I was reading this, I read the Proverbs pretty much every day. And when I say that, I miss days. Of course I miss days. But you have to understand, when I say read the Proverb every day, my life intention is to read the Proverb every day. I miss some days. I might miss a week. I might miss 2 weeks. But if I miss a week, I'm like, oh man, I got to get back to the Proverbs. I don't think like, oh, that's so stupid. I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? That's Bronze Age stuff. See, there's attitude about this. And that's what we're talking about here. What's your attitude toward God's ways? Well, I know God's. I'll get to that in a minute. All right. So wayward, the word wayward actually means to turns one's back to risk. Everybody used to watch Everybody Loves Raymond? The old guy would say, I can't hear you! Right? You know, and for good reason, I guess. But a wayward person, when, like, you know, you know me, right? Which way do I lean, Nancy? I'm wayward. I'm wayward. I'm like, I jump in where angels fear to tread, right? And Nancy knows that, and that's my personality, right? And so I know about this one really well, right? It means it turns one's back to risk, right? Wayward, actually, the word there in the Hebrew, it's like shalel. It means actually, okay, this is the right way to go. And I'm like, nah. Turn your back to it, right? It's like, you know, big danger sign. Danger, danger, danger. Don't go here. Like I said, I took some of the CMT to get their pictures taken or something. I forget where we went. And we were driving into a parking lot, and it said, do not enter. And they said, hey, you can't go here. I said, well, that doesn't apply to me. Right? That's somebody else. Wayward person, the desire for the reward overpowers their fear of the risk. Okay, so, you know, driving into a parking lot where it says, do not enter, what's the reward? Shorter distance to get in there, right? I'm going to get the best parking spot, right? Saving time. What's the risk? I might get in trouble, right? I might get a ticket, right? I might get a run. There was no spikes. I did check that, right? But the wayward person says, what's the worst that can happen? It's not going to happen to me. It's worth the risk. It's worth the risk. How many wayward persons do we have here besides me? Yeah? Okay. About six of us. All right. The rest of you are all perfect, right? You're like a number five. The problem, of course, with being wayward is that we get suckered into opportunities, don't we? Right? What can go wrong day trading? Right? It's a personality thing. So we get suckered into opportunities that are traps. On the other side, you have, of course, what the Bible calls complacency. And the word complacent there, again, it's a word that means it treasures quiet and being at ease more than anything. So the fear of losing that peace, the fear of losing something, the fear of losing calmness, quiet, the fear of losing anything, the fear of overpowers the desire of the reward that's possible if you did that. What's the worst that can happen to me? Yep, it'll happen to me if I do that. There's no way. Right? It's not worth the risk. And of course, the downside of that is what? You miss the opportunities. Miss opportunities. You're paralyzed by fear. And so all of us fall into those two generalities. And the sooner that you can understand that, admit it, and surrender it to God, the sooner you can go on with your life and start doing things His way, that will always prosper, as opposed to shoot yourself in the foot or missing every opportunity because you're too afraid. And I know most of us are like, what's the big deal? I'm fine the way that I am. The Bible says there's a better way. There's God's way. You've heard this analogy, right? You're talking about, we've been looking at houses, and we've looked at 28 different houses, and so somebody says, well, when are you going to pull the trigger? You ever hear that? What's it mean? When are you going to make the decision? Right? And of course, the wayward person, what would they have done? Buy the first house. The complacent person would have done what? Look at a million and still can't decide. Right? Okay, exactly. When are you going to pull the trigger? So it's an analogy to decision making. a wayward. Now, I use this because I've taught a lot of people how to shoot, a lot of kids how to shoot, and I find that all, especially kids, they all fall into one of these two categories. They either rush the shot, or they delay the shot till they're shaking like crazy and they just can't pull the trigger. Right? I look at the decourse there. I taught their boys how to shoot. One of their boys, I knew, as soon as he'd get him down there, get him down, boom! You know who it was? Right? The other one, waiting. I'm like, is he ever going to shoot? Because right? The longer that you wait, right, you just start shaking and shaking. And so, again, you're going back to this analogy. You know, when you rush your shot, it's because you have this desire to hit the target, and you just can't wait. I got it, boom! Because your desire to hit the target overpowers your fear of missing. On the other hand, of course, delaying the shot, there's a fear of missing the target, is so great. And that's why a person would be there and just keep focusing, and looking, and they just can't bring themselves to pull the trigger. Right? Anybody ever have that happen to you? How many of you rush the shot? How many of you are afraid to pull the trigger? How many of you are crack shots? See, God's ways are perfect. God's ways, and I'm using this not because I like to shoot, but because it is such an analogy. I mean, it's why it is an analogy in our culture, because it is an analogy of the truth about how we make decisions based on our personality. Because the way to shoot is you just keep focusing on the target. You just keep focusing, and you just gently keep squeezing. You just gently keep squeezing. You gently keep squeezing, and you just keep focusing, squeezing, boom! Huh! And it surprises you when it goes off. What's even a greater surprise? Guess what you hit? The bullseye. The best shot is the one that surprises you when the gun goes off. The worst shot is when you pull the trigger because, now I'm on the target, boom! Because now you pull the trigger and your gun's going everywhere, right? And the analogy is the same with God's way. His word says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What's that mean? It means that you have a goal, you have a target, and you keep your mind focused on it, and you keep yourself focused on it, and you keep your faith applied to it, and you keep taking your steps that way. You just keep moving that way, keep going that way, gently going that way, going that way, going that way, going that way, and next thing you know, you're there. That's the way God's thing works. That's the way his way, that's his way of things working. Now, there's all kind of analogies, but, the best way to not hit anything is what? Huh? Don't shoot, yeah. If you aim at nothing, you're going to be sure to hit it, right? That's what they say. Want to hit nothing? Don't aim at anything. And that's why I'm saying that God's way, and you hear me say this a lot in the message that I talk about journaling, I talk about writing down what you believe God's telling you to do. That's God's way. You write down where you want to go. You write down your destination. Where I want to go to California. I want to go, wherever it is. I want to go to prosperity. I want to be healthy. I want to, whatever it is. You write it down. Right? And man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so as you are taking each day and trusting in him and reading your Proverbs, lo and behold, you find yourself moving in that direction consistently, and suddenly you're there. It's not sudden. But it seems like it's sudden. Surprise! That's God's way. And so this is, you know, and again, you know, I'm teaching all my grandkids how to shoot now, you know, and it's amazing. Don't tell me how to shoot. You're 5 years old. Well, I know how to shoot. Well, really, when did you learn? You know, and you know, you think, well, yeah, they're 5 year old. But I've been in the ministry now for like 40 years. I hear it all the time. Don't tell me how to live. Why should I live that? Why should I do that? I know how to live. I mean, I got this far, didn't I? Well, why are we having this conversation? Yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. They turned from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. Missing God's will is like getting an arrow through your liver. I have had so many friends, people that I knew well, get caught in, they got caught in the snare. They got caught in the lie, the deception of adultery, sexual sin. You know, when you're in ministry 40 years, I mean, you see so much of it. And you see Christians, people who were in ministry and people who should know better. You know, and they think, what are you thinking? Don't you read your Proverbs? And the answer is no. I don't read the Proverbs. Oh, maybe I read it one time. But, see, and this is why I say, you know, why it's so important to read the Proverbs like every day. You're 31 of them, so every month you start afresh, right? And the seventh of every month, you get a dose of why you should not commit adultery. There's other places too, but look at what it says about, see, we're talking about God's ways, right? And learning God's ways and knowing God's ways and preventing destruction, right? The wayward shall be destroyed and the complacent shall be killed, right? Let's read together this part of the proverb, Proverbs 7. Call understanding your intimate friend, that it may keep you from an adulteress. He follows her, decision made, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Proverbs 7 is about a man weighing the risk-reward of adultery. That's what it is. If you read the Proverbs every month, the seventh of every month, you're going to get a story about what happens if you commit adultery. You get an arrow through your liver. Hey, well, Rick, I'm not going to get an arrow through my liver. That's ridiculous. What it means is you're going to die a slow death. That's what it means. Brace yourself for this next picture. I think it's the next picture. Any anti-hunters here? This is the buck I shot on Wednesday. Almost every buck that I shoot, because I use dominant buck scent, which means that it only attracts big bucks. And because they're smart, they always follow their line. They always follow their scent, but they always come around behind you and circle around. That means that my shot is almost always going to be with them quartering away. And when you shoot an animal quartering away, what do you shoot? No hunters here? Not the heart. The liver. The liver. See, if I was like this, you go this way. You want to shoot, it comes out the front shoulder, but it's going to go in this way, through the liver, through the lung, and come out the front shoulder, right? Almost all of my bucks are shot through the liver because they're always quartering away from me, right? When I shoot a buck through the liver, I just sit there, and I know it's only a matter of time. You know how I know that? I read the Proverbs. People say, oh, the liver's a bad shot. No, the liver's not a bad shot. The Bible says the liver's a good shot. It'll kill you. That buck particularly, he went like this, like I guess he got bit by a mosquito. Walked on up the hill about 50 yards and laid down. 10 minutes later, here he comes rolling down the hill. That's what happens when you get shot in the liver. Proverbs 7, God's way is marry somebody that you love of the opposite sex, stay with them forever, love them forever. Don't commit adultery, because if you do, it'll come back to bite you in the liver. Now that's a message not real popular for our culture. In fact, almost every movie you see, adultery is like the second thing you see. Am I right? Adultery or else sleeping together, whatever, right? I said he was following the lust of his flesh. That's going to be next week. We're going to be talking about the 1 John next week, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the three ways that we go about making decisions and influences us that end us up in this position. But see, man's way is imperfect because we're motivated by the wrong influences. There we are, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. That's unless you purposely work at knowing God's ways, those are the three things that will influence you to make decisions. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and that should be lust of the eyes, not pride of the eyes. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We'll talk about that next week, okay? Is that okay? All right. And we'll read this next week also. Here's God's amazing promise to us. This is why I spent my entire life, like David said, I will teach transgressors your ways. I have spent my entire life trying to understand God's ways, and he told me, Rick, as long as you follow my ways and as long as you teach my ways, I'm going to take really good care of you. And sure enough, he has. And that's why I want to pass it on to you. God has an amazing promise to you if you will make your number one priority learning his ways and following his ways. And get rid of the pride that says, I don't need that. I know enough to do stuff on my own. Here's the promise. Let's read it together. Proverbs 3, 4 through 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Stop there a minute. Man's ways is not God's ways. Man thinks about things in what dimension? One dimension. Simple, right? What's the immediate effect, right? Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on just your own simple understanding of what could happen here. God knows more. Let's read on. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your ways straight. Most of you know that last way as what? Paths, right? I told you, right? They're the same word. He will make your ways straight. God's amazing promise is this, that if we will make our number one priority learning his ways, he will make our ways straight. It doesn't mean that we're always going to make perfect decisions. What it means is, it's because, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go there. Hey, if you love his ways and seek his ways, he'll be with you in every life decision. Let's read together again 2 Chronicles. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Question, is your heart devoted to the ways of the Lord? I'm not saying you always do the ways of the Lord. I'm not saying that you don't, or that you're not wavered, or that you're not complacent. I'm not saying you don't go that way with your personality. But I'm saying, have you ever made a decision? Have you ever decided, I'm going to live my life devoted to the ways of the Lord? I want to know his ways, and I'm going to do my best to follow his ways. If you make that decision, just like that fellow in Proverbs 7, it says, suddenly he followed her. What that means is, he made the decision. Right? Here's the hooker on the street. I'm walking by. She's saying, hey, come with me. We'll have a good time. No, 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 I don't need that. Oh, okay. Decision made. Right? This whole thing is about how we make decisions. Am I right? Weighing the risk and reward. Right? What do we have inside of us? What of God's word have we put inside of us that will inform us and help us to make a decision based on what God says and not what everybody else says is okay? He promises he'll be with you if you seek his ways in every life decision. So how do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Reverend Proverbs, how do I trust the Lord? What am I just saying? Lord, I trust with all my heart. Is that what that means? James says, hey, you can say you have faith all you want, but if there's no works to go with it, you're fooling yourself. God looks at what we do, and that's how he knows what our faith is. You know where I'm going with this, right? He looks at your heart. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you don't read the Proverbs every day that you really don't love God's ways. I'm not saying that. But I probably am saying that. Because that's what I believe. Maybe you never heard it before. Maybe you don't know it. I don't know. If you've been here, you've heard me say it many, many times. But I can tell you this, anybody who reads the Proverbs every day because they want to seek God's ways, I can tell you this right now, God looks at that person and says, all right, buddy, I can see you're trying. And he credits that faith as righteousness. How do we know love and follow God's ways? First of all, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, that's the first step. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You can't even begin to have God's abundant life without having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Secondly, I believe, read the Proverbs every day. Well, what about the New Testament? Sure, absolutely. After you've read your Proverbs. I can almost hear you thinking, Rick, are you really? I mean, did I really come to Sunday night service and the preacher's telling me I need to read a proverb every day? I mean, what kind of nonsense is this? But now, I'm telling you why I've been saying that for the last 30 years. Right? I'm giving you the why. And then, of course, be an active, participating, growing, learning member of the body of Christ, the church. Because there's where you learn, and that's where you hear messages like this, and you get and you get the other part of the body of Christ supporting you and helping you, and you're all trying to get the same place. You're all trying to be a community of believers, and you're all trying to go the same direction and accomplish the same thing, which is know God's ways, follow God's ways, live God's way, and have an abundant life. That's what we want. That's what we're after here. So what are you doing to make God's ways your ways? So I can tell you right now, your ways naturally are not God's ways. I don't care how much you think they are, they're not. No matter how much you think you're a perfect five, you're not. Let's read what David said. He also, you know, in Psalm 119, he said, how can a young man keep his way from sinning? What did he say? Hidden hearts, right? I will hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here's what else he says, Psalm 119. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. See, it's more than just like, oh, I got to read this quick because Rick said so. Okay, I got it done. It's reading it and thinking, what does that mean? Lord, why would you say that? And having a conversation with him and writing in your Bible. And in all my Bibles, you'll find the book of Proverbs is all written up, right? It's just, you know, so I can't write it anymore, then I get a new Bible. May I sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. So that's why we sing. Let's read together Proverbs 2. This is why daily reading of the Proverbs is so critical to learning God's ways. You ready? My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ears attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, right? I can guarantee you spend a whole lot more time trying to make money than you do trying to learn God's ways. Amen. I know I do. But I'll tell you one thing I do, I read the Proverbs. You go and work 8-10 hours a day trying to get the silver and the treasure, right? What about that 15 minutes of just considering God's ways and thinking about them? Because this proverb says, that that will bring back more reward to you than all the hours of labor put together. Let's read on. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Oh, I know that anyway. I don't have to know that. For wisdom will enter your heart. Let's say it again. For wisdom will enter your heart. That's what I want. Let's say it again. For wisdom will enter your heart. The first time I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. That means that if I just spend time reading God's word, specifically the Proverbs, seeking his wisdom, that even though I can't understand it, even though I can't make sense of it, that it will enter me. And then, of course, being the scientist that I am, I'm like, that means it happens by osmosis. You know what osmosis is? There's a semi-permeable membrane, right? And it's semi-permeable because it allows certain molecules through and keeps other molecules out. So when you make the decision, I'm going to seek your way, you're saying, my brain is a filter. It's a semi-permeable membrane. I'm going to let God's ways in and not the world's way. And as you're there reading it, even though you know, like, this is stupid, I don't know, God's wisdom is entering in by osmosis. And next thing you know, you're actually finding yourself making decisions, doing things that are different than the way you would have. Your personality becomes tempered by God's personality. I don't know about you, but I need that. You need it. We need it. It will enter your heart. But there's even better promise from God than because we spend time in the Proverbs, we always make the right decision. Because we know that's not the case. The best promise is that if you seek wisdom, not only will wisdom enter your heart, but he will make your ways straight. Do you understand what that means? That means even if you make a decision based on your old personality, because you're seeking God, you're reading your Proverbs, you want to get God's best, it means he'll make it work out for you. It's like I said last week, on Route 80, went to Chicago and back down again, but we saved an hour. I should tell a story about the trailer, but I probably won't. I bought this big trailer to bring my four-wheeler home. And on our way home, Nancy says, what are you going to do with a 25-foot trailer? And if you, I mean, I'll admit. Well, not really. But I can't even begin to tell you the story because there's so many factors that went into it. But I said, okay, I'll take it. I gave the guy the handshake, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now I have it, right? I wish I hadn't bought it, but I did. Now I'm pulling this thing home, and he says, what are you going to do with this thing? Because she knew I was wayward, and I rushed into this, right? And I said, I'm not really sure, but I have a way of things working out for me. Didn't I say that? You might think, boy, Rick, you're really an arrogant, proud person. No, I'm not. I know Romans 8:28. That even when my personality takes over and I make a stupid decision, it always works out for me because God makes a way. He makes my way straight. It's what he does. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I don't have to wring my hands. I don't have to cry. I don't have to worry. I don't have to do anything. God always makes a way straight if you trust him with all your heart. That's why I say it's even a better promise than the one where you get to make good, better decisions. I do make better decisions, don't I, Nancy? Guess where she's on the scale. This stuff is all fun because it's the way life is. It's the way God made us. But when you love each other, we don't have to fuss and fight and worry. We love God. We love each other. It works out. Why? Because we know Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your ways straight. That's the way it works. See, God reckons your faith that his way is right as righteousness. I tell you, I'd rather have him reckoning me to be right than to be right every time. You understand that? The difference between self-righteousness and righteousness that God reckons because you love him and his ways, it's a world of difference. It's a whole different perspective. Let's read it together. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. As we seek to know God's ways over a lifetime, our way becomes increasingly better in every way. Let's read together Proverbs 4:18. But the way of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I love that verse. Because no matter where you've been, no matter if you say today I'm making the decision, I'm going to begin to read the Proverbs, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, I am going to seek to know his way, from this day forward, your life is only going to get better. That's the truth of it. You're only going to go up from here. And when you're old and gray, like some of us are, you can say, thank God I decided to follow his ways, because my ways have just got better and better over my entire life. So where are you with God's ways? Are you willfully ignorant of his ways? Are you opposed to his ways? Somewhat willing but conflicted because his ways are different than the ways you're used to doing things? Are you willing but ill-informed of his ways? I gave you the solution to that tonight, didn't I? Are you fully committed to learning and experiencing his ways and in love with his ways? Where are you with God and his ways? Just take a moment. Just close your eyes. Lord, I want you to show each person here where they are with your ways. Are they in love with your ways? Are they committed to your ways? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, my first question is, have you yet accepted the way that God has provided in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father but through me. If you've never made that life decision, and you want to make it tonight, please look up at me. Let our eyes meet. I want to agree together with it. Tonight's the night. You're making the decision. I'm going to accept God's way to have eternal life and abundant life. I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior tonight. If I don't see you looking at me, then wave at me so I can see you looking at me for that reason. Anybody here tonight making that decision? Would you please pray this prayer with me together and out loud? Lord Jesus, I know you are the way, and I want to follow you. I love your ways. Teach me your ways so I can know you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so committed to my well-being that you came to show me God's ways. I receive you. I follow you. Allow your wisdom to enter my heart, that my way will become brighter and brighter like the noonday sun.